Basically, what happened was I was Snapchatting this boy, and he left me on, like, delivered, and then opened my Snapchat and left me on open, and so I got really upset, so I looked at his Snap score, like, the last two digits of it, and within, like, an hour, it had gone up, like, 10 points, so I knew he was, like, ignoring me and Snapchatting other people, because when you Snapchat other people, it, like, goes up a certain amount.
Hello, I'm Delaney Rustin, physician and creator of the three Screenagers movies, and this is the Screenagers podcast. In April 2011, a Stanford undergrad named Reggie Brown was talking with a couple of friends about girls and parties, and Reggie casually said how he wished that revealing photos he would want to send to girls, or vice versa, would disappear after being sent. And then in a flash, he thought how this could make for a cool new app. He raced down the hall to find his friend, Evan Spiegel, who he had worked with on a past app, one that didn't very well. And he wanted to run the idea by him. Evan loved the idea. They wanted to try to bring the idea to life, and they brought on fellow Stanford student Bobby Murphy as the coder. The original app was called Peekaboo, and then it turned into, can you guess? Snapchat. There are lots of ways Snapchat can be used for positive social interactions and connection, and plenty of Snapchat use is benign. But there's also controversies around Snapchat. For example, in my latest film, Screenagers Under the Influence, we explore the issue of how drug dealers are using the app to deal, including substances laced with fentanyl. Today, I talk with a high school student and a college student about their views of Snapchat, starting with a primer on the main features of the app, and then moving forward. Here's my first guest, who I will call Jake.
You're how old now?
16, but I turned 17 in 2 months.
Okay. Can you just say a little bit about how Snapchat works?
Yeah, so with Snapchat, you can't really have a private account. In fact, like, anyone on the app can look your username up and, like, just contact you, but you do have to accept their follow, if you will. And then basically, so you have all your friends on a list, and then they send you snaps or pictures, and then you can also text them and chat with them individually as well. You can also create certain groups and whatnot with the app as well, and I'm in a bunch of those too. But yeah, so if you want to take a picture of something or a picture you like, or you want to make an announcement to your friends on Snapchat, you can post on your story. And then basically any of your friends will be able to see it. And then there's also something called a private story, which is where you can basically choose who specifically which of your friends gets to view it.
Looking at your friends' stories, do they get likes or anything?
The friends' stories, they don't get likes, but like you can see how many people have viewed them and people can react to them. So there's like the top row with all of your friends' stories. And then you scroll down. And then there's like all the influencers, the discover section.
And then if you open your spotlight, what comes up?
It's just Instagram style videos. So 10, 15 second videos, like TikTok videos.
Let me just interject here about the discover and the spotlight sections of the app. The discover section has lots of influencers, lots of things from Cosmopolitan magazine, which are often very racy. Many news posts and posts from various brands and more influencers. And then the spotlight section, well, this section is working really hard to be as attention-grabbing as TikTok with one short video after another. And I find it's often overlooked how much all of these apps are adding in whatever works on another app into their own. And what's more is that these apps make it impossible to disable different features. In other words, to be able to customize things. For example, get rid of Discover and or Spotlight. If a parent and teen discussed this and thought that would be the best move, they really don't make that possible. Getting back to Snapchat, teens send each other snaps, which are photos or videos, and they can also send messages. What I want to know is the complexities that happen with this communication platform. I talk with Jake about this.
Let's go to your phone right now. How many unopened snaps do you have? This is a week. night, evening?
So I have like 16. These are pictures, so I'm probably just going to open each one and just send like a picture of my wall or something. When someone sends you a snap, it'll say, Tony sent you a snap. It comes in like a bright red box, and then you hit it. If I open it and I don't send anything back, it'll just say, on Tony's end, it'll say red.
I talk with Dev, who is a junior in college.
Do you guys say tend to say left me on open or left me on red?
I think for Snapchat, people say left on open. Where actually for my hometown, I say boxed because on his screen, it looks like a little open box. So like me and all my friends from home say like, oh, we got boxed, if that makes sense. But then if it's like a text, I would say I got left on red.
Whenever someone leaves me unopened and we've been like sending snaps for a while, I get a little confused and also a little anxious. Are they going to snap me back? Did I do something wrong?
I think about all the microaggressions that teens on Snapchat are dealing with all the time, having 20 or more conversations going on simultaneously, people seeming to ignore them. Sometimes they're ignoring people by intentionally leaving them unread. This is stressful stuff. And then there's this new feature on Snapchat that can add to all this stress. It's called a snap score.
Your account has something called a snap score. And basically, like, you want a higher score, and you do that by just sending like the most snaps and I guess engaging with the app the most. So people just send random pictures of anything to people, and then like it increases their snap score. It keeps you connected with certain people. The person that I just opened was a senior last year, so they went to college. So I haven't seen them, but I've been snapping them. So that's nice.
Is that a streak that you guys have or different?
Yeah, it's a streak. Your snap score is, it's just, I don't know how they calculate it, but it's basically like your score. And then your streak is how many days in a row you've snapped that person. The more consistent you are and the more people you snap, the higher your snap score is.
And what is your snap score?
I think I can look, but mine's like 220,000. I have a friend who's had Snapchat since like second grade, and they're maybe a little later than that, but his score is in the millions. When people look on your account, like they can see your snap score. And like if yours is low, then like that might send the message of like you're more of a quiet person with a closer friend group or something.
You're being very judicious. It could make it seem like you're not very popular.
It could. You didn't hear it from me, but also like my friend who has his in the millions, he has like probably double the amount of friends that I have, and he probably snaps double the amount of people. I think a lot of teens feel like they have to have like a high snap score because it looks better.
Talking with Dev, I learn another way snap scores can make someone feel bad.
Basically, what happened was I was Snapchatting this boy, and he left me on like delivered and then opened my Snapchat and left me on open. And so I got really upset. So I looked at his snap score, like the last two digits of it. And within like an hour, it had gone up like 10 points. So I knew he was like ignoring me and Snapchatting other people, because when you Snapchat other people, it like goes up a certain amount. So especially 10 points is like a lot. Like he had to have been Snapchatting a lot of people and blatantly ignoring me.
Mm-hmm. And how did you feel when you saw his snap score go up?
Bad, because I have quite a big crush on this kid. And I just wanted to at least Snapchat him, if not text him. So I was mad that he was like not responding. Eventually he did respond, but I opened it and it was just like a dark screen. So I was like, I don't know, like if he just like his camera messed up, or like if he was like in bed and just Snapchatted back and no lights were on, or like if he was like somewhere and put it like took a picture, like phone down on table. So he still responded, but didn't want me to know, like see the photo. I don't really know. Because also people usually on my Snapchat don't send me black screens like that. So that's why I was also like, it's a little weird to do that. Usually it's a selfie or like words like in the chat, or like with a photo of something, or even just like a photo of like what's in front of them. Like I rarely get a black screen. So that's why I was also like a little taken aback, because that's just weird.
Okay, so there's social pressure that can sometimes negatively affect teens' mental health and well-being. But app users also get exposed to content that they don't choose, often don't want to see, and may not be appropriate for their age group.
There's a lot of inappropriate content exposure. Any influencer or whatnot can post something that's revealing or whatnot, and it'll just show up on like your like stories list because Snapchat's going to push out like the popular stories to all the audiences. So it just might end up on like a new user's suggested or whatnot.
Got it. So say that a little bit more. So the stories, there's a tab, which is stories. And is that, are you scrolling down like you would Instagram for the stories?
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually very similar to Instagram in that way. So there's like all of your friends' stories. And then below it, they have all the really popular influencers or people that they think you would find interesting just based off like, because they track like what you like.
What kind of things are like inappropriate?
Yeah. So sexualized dancing, sexualized pictures as well.
Is it video sexualized dancing?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of cleavage and just implying a lot of like sexual things.
And is that more coming from friends on their stories or far more on the content that's being delivered to users?
Definitely a lot more on the content that's being delivered.
In fact, do you see much of friends posting things that are in that vein?
At my school, there's not a lot of people that do that. But I know that like at some other schools that there's definitely people that publish and share that type of content. Snapchat's not just feeding you like all like inappropriate content.
If you look on your app right now under the stories, but under the discover part of it, can we just see what it's showing you in the discover?
Yeah. So right now it's actually, so there's two golf videos. There's one like workout video actually. And then there's like a sports video from like ESPN. But then if I scroll down, like I can see there's already like something from like a model or like some kind of like influencer that they posted.
So remember that the founders of Snapchat specifically wanted to create an app that would allow sexual content to be shared and then disappear. Although they went on to deny that later on, it's true. They soon realized, though, that using it just for that purpose wasn't going to grow enough their business. So they started realizing that just general communication was the way that the app would spread rapidly, and it did. But the truth is today, teens who use Snapchat are very used to being served sexually suggestive or explicit content.
Pretend you had like a 13 or 14-year-old sister or brother or 11 or 12 or whatever. Do you feel like some of the stuff is inappropriate? Just highly sexualized?
On Snapchat or in social media in general?
Snapchat.
Definitely. I think my like discover and like the news things that are pushed to me are very either over-dramatized and just like incorrect or oddly sexual. I'll be pushed like celebrity stories of them just like shirtless. It gives kind of like OnlyFans. And it's weird because I'm not even subscribed to them, but they'll show up on my discovery like stuff. OnlyFans is like a site, I guess, or like a app where like you can take photos of really whatever you want, but it is inherently sexual because like the photos are locked away and then you have to pay or sign up to see them. People who are on it are getting money for like doing whatever they want to do and they don't have to do full on porn. It is advertised so visually to a lot of platforms. So it is like very out there. And it's very accessible to people of like any age, which is kind of scary in some senses. On Snapchat, if you go to like your stories page, you can be like subscribed to people through your stories. And I personally will have like random people who are like OnlyFans users who like pop up on my subscribed, even if I'm not subscribed to them.
Let me pause here just to say I would never have thought that Snapchat users are getting all these ads about OnlyFans into their feeds. That is pretty astounding. In fact, I've spoken with teens who indeed think it's just cool and empowering that people can make money for their sexually explicit photos and videos online. It just makes me think how this is part of a norming around pornography and sex work and sexualization of society that is really moving quickly and in a very concerning way. Let's get back to Dev and her thoughts on the explicit content in Snapchat.
Would you say that sexualized stuff is more intense than Instagram or TikTok?
Yeah, definitely on Snapchat. Because I also am a strong believer of like Snapchat was made to be a, like a sexual app. It was made to send nudes. It was made to do that kind of stuff. So I think it still has that sexual nature and people don't really realize that anymore. If I had a little sibling, I would put them away from Snapchat at least for a while because it is highly sexual, I would say.
Which brings us back to the disappearing images, the multi-billion dollar idea behind Snapchat. Here is Jake again.
And you can also send like nude and sexual pictures to someone and then it'll just disappear forever. They say that, but unless someone saves it or takes a screenshot. I know that some of the parents are a little worried about all the content on there and like how it just disappears. Like the content that you can send can just disappear after you open it. Yeah.
Parents worry about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of all the platforms in terms of teenagers sending to boyfriends and girlfriends videos that are sexualized or photos, do you think that's more on Instagram or Snapchat that it happens?
I would say definitely Snapchat because it's, I think it was like originally designed like just for sending pictures and then like expanded into everything else.
Can you always know if someone does a screenshot?
It like Snapchat will send you a notification like it'll say Tony took a screenshot of your snap.
And then of course, if there's a second phone in the house, someone could always take a picture of it and you wouldn't know.
Yes, that's correct.
And how should parents then, having heard this, what are ways to have conversations or to look at the app with their kids? What would you recommend?
I think it's important that like you establish a certain amount of honesty with your child so they're not just going to lie to you, maybe show you some alternate account that has like not a lot of friends and it's like a lot more low down than their main account that has like hundreds of people added and things like that.
Just like Instagram and Finstas and whatnot, Snapchat, you can have more than one account.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's a really good point. I really appreciate that. And then the other thing that we here at Screenagers talk a lot about is safety first. So that trust that you just talked about where a user can go to the parent and say, look at this, it's inappropriate, but it's not going to be that the parent is going to take therefore the device away. It's going to be a time for discussion. Also, ensuring time to have breaks from media and all of this, which is not easy, as we've been talking about. Thank you so very much. It's been great.
Of course. It was a lot of fun. I think not a lot of teenagers have this opportunity to tell a lot of parents about the app and what makes it so dangerous. I don't want to speak for other teenagers, but I don't think they're going to go and tell their parents, oh yeah, look at this app, look how dangerous it is, all this bad content I'm seeing, like that's just not going to happen. So I'm glad I can help with that.
To hear from Jake and Dev today was really helpful. We touched on some important topics that warrant discussions in our homes and classrooms. Discussions about the complexities of communication on the platform, such as being left on read, the strain of having many snaps to respond to, snap scores, and all the issues around sexual content. This is just some of the topics one could delve into regarding Snapchat. For other topics, such as snap maps, check out my Screenagers blog at screenagersmovie.com and put the term Snapchat in the search bar. That's it for the show. I want to give a huge thank you to Jake and Dev for being on the show. To get show notes and to learn how you can see any of the Screenagers movies, go to screenagersmovie.com.
This Screenagers podcast episode was produced by me, your host, Delaney Rustin, Lisa Tabb, Rebecca Tolan, and Alan Gofinski. Alan is also our sound editor.